well, maybe two, but in 20-something years, and you know, most time you go to church, that's all you hear, give, 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 give. We need this. We need that. We need a special offering for this. We need a special. In 20-something years, I taught one message on giving, and guess what the title was? God doesn't need your money. Because he doesn't. But our money need God to bless it. Amen. And so even here, we it's not a requirement. We put a basket back there in the back, and however you are led, you give. We are not going to say, oh, we need monies here. This is a new church, and you know, and we renting, and we need you. You, those of you who are benefiting, we want you to give. No, I'm not even going to go there, because God say he loved what? A cheerful giver. See, Holy Spirit gives me peace that I don't have to, as a pastor, beg. He said, feed my sheep, not fleece my sheep. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm not going to spend no time of our time of message where you're trying to be fed. I am not going to use that for fleecing. Hallelujah. And God has blessed us as a church. He has blessed us as a church. To the church in New Jersey is totally financing this work here. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And this wasn't a church where people, and I never told, even for this church, I told them, I said, listen, you know, well, you know, I'm going to be going to Hawaii to start a church. And I want you to know, it is not a requirement that anybody gives anything for the church. You know, we're going to be able to do what God wants us to do. However, if there's anybody that feels that they want to plant to launch the seed, when you do that, you do that. And I said, if you're going to do this, I need you to do it like 3 months from now. Within 2 weeks, we had $12,000 for the church. From about two or three people. One person gave 10,000. One person gave 1,000. And somebody else gave 500. This is not, what I'm trying to show you, it was never ever a requirement. It wasn't like this is a fundraiser or anything like that. And then you have some that gives monthly. They give monthly for this church. God is good. But you know why they're able to do that? Because they've been taught right. They've been taught to put their trust in the Lord. And God has blessed them financially. See, the key is that whenever we are not fleeced, when we are not begged to give, and we just ask the Lord, Lord, what should I give? You know what I have. You know what I got to pay. You know all of these things, Lord. You know, what should I give? You're never going to hear me say, well, you know, the Lord is telling me that I do not do that mess. That we need everybody in here to make a sacrificial offering. We don't have time for that. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. We don't have time for that. But what I will tell you God wants you to do is make a sacrifice in your time spent with him. Sacrifice more time to read your Bible. Sacrifice more time to pray. Sacrifice more time to help one another, help bring out the best in others. Sacrifice more time, you know, if you're married, sacrifice more time to talk to your spouse, to try to get to know them. You know, we can be with people for years and never know them. We may know that certain things about them, but we never know them. And so it, instead of you having a full relationship, a satisfying relationship, we don't. And this is where Holy Spirit comes in. You need Holy Spirit in your marriage. The Bible says no man knows a man unless what? Holy Spirit reveal it. So I always tell my wife, I say, you on that side, I'm on this side, and Holy Spirit is in the middle. And if I need to know how to communicate with you, I say, Holy Spirit, what should I say to her? You know, and if I try to look around Holy Spirit and say something, I did that once, and I learned real quick that's not a good thing to do. So I try to bypass Holy Spirit and say something to my wife. And I said to you, did you hear what I say? She said, yeah, nothing. I said, okay, let me go back and ask Holy Spirit how to do the next conversation. Are you understand what I'm saying? And so that's how we have to do with everybody in our life. It's best to ask Holy Spirit, what is the right approach? A lot of times people will come and they want to give you advice and they want to try to help you. And what they're saying is not really making your situation any better. It's not encouraging you. As a matter of fact, it's making you feel worse than better. And so you just say to that person, that's, if they're supposed to be a Christian, you say, well, you know, I really appreciate you're wanting to help me, and I thank God for having all this help around me, and people want to reach out to me and try to help me out. However, you know, since only Holy Spirit know what I need to hear today, and each day I need to hear something different. I need to, you know, what you said yesterday may not encourage me today. You know what I'm saying? And so because I need to hear something new every day, the next time ask Holy Spirit what I need to hear, because only He knows. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And so Holy Spirit will also produce understanding. Amen. And I want you to understand this. Jesus was saying to His disciples, He said, I have many things to say to you, but you are not ready to hear them. And the same thing for me being a pastor here, because I'm learning the people that come in, and we have different people coming in almost every week. You know, I have to ask Holy Spirit, what am I to share? You know what, where everybody is spiritually. You know whether or not they're on a preschool level in their spiritual understanding of you, or if they're on a college level of their spiritual understanding of you. So Holy Spirit, I need you to make sure that everyone hear something that they can use wherever they are. Amen. That will benefit their thinking wherever they are, that will benefit their ability to get a little bit more understanding about who you are as God. And so because the devil is constantly trying to make sure that we get a lie about who God is. Amen. Holy Spirit is the only one that can help me share with you, because I have notes here, and I'm not even using 80% of my notes, because Holy Spirit knows what each person need to hear. Hallelujah. And I have to be willing to yield. And that's how we all have to do. Even though we may have planned to say something to somebody or believe what we are going to say to them is the right thing. And anybody ever like, I'm going to tell them this and I'm going to tell them that, and then when you get to them, you can't tell them? But that's Holy Spirit saying, you know, no, that ain't what you're supposed to say. That ain't this hold your peace, you know. That's not what you're supposed to say, you know. And so that's what I was saying. Holy Spirit is working in our life even when we don't even recognize that He is. But I want you to recognize, if you had it in your mind to tell somebody off, but when you got in their presence, you couldn't. That was Holy Spirit just trying to preserve your peace. Amen. And so I want you to know that Holy Spirit is at work, but the key is, if you really want to get the fullness of the Holy Spirit work in your life, begin to recognize and consciously accept that, Holy Spirit, let me not interfere with my life anymore, but show me how to get the best out of my life. I'm a father, I'm a mother, I'm a husband, I'm a wife, I'm a sister, I'm a brother, I'm a grandmother, whatever. I deal with a lot of people. Show me how to speak and deal with all of these different people that I have to deal with every day. Show me how to deal with them in such a way that I bring the best out of them. Because the one thing that I've learned about marriage and about being a pastor about marriage is, if I bring the best out of my wife, she bring the best out of me. If I bring the best out of the members, they bring the best out of me. Amen. If I bring the best out of my neighbor bring the best out of me. The key is that for our own good, we bring the best out of other people. They benefit too, but for our own good, we try to bring the best out of people. Are you following me?
Yes.
Amen. And so Holy Spirit will also produce understanding. And in that, what I'm saying is to be short with this, He will always cause us to understand why people do what they do. Even if we don't agree with why they do what they do, we understand. What I do is, a lot of times, you know, and you know, when you're a pastor, you get all kind of personalities and all kind of people with their different approaches to life, the different understandings of life. And, you know, when people do certain things, I'll say, oh, that's just so-and-so, and that's just so-and-so. And that's what I say to myself, so that I position myself for God to help me to get proper understanding on how to approach helping them. You understand what I'm saying? That's just this person. That's just that person. That's just how they are. That's just, you know, so I do that to myself, so that I can, like, okay, before I get into this condemnation mindset or become negative towards them, I position myself in trying to say, so I always want to know why they did it. Why they did it. You know, because we look at trees and we see the fruit, but a lot of us don't think about the root. What did it take for that root to produce this fruit. And it's the same thing, we look at people. We see some people and we just look at their outward appearance. We look at their attitude. We look at things. And that's just a fruit. But we never say, well, Lord, why are they doing this? What is causing them to have this type of anger? What is causing them to have this mindset? What is causing them to seem like they're always happy or they're always sad or whatever? You know, I always want to know why they are like that. Because when I understand the why, on in the business world, troubleshooters is very valuable. Troubleshooters only come when there's trouble. Amen? And so, but a lot of times the people, reason why people can't solve problems because they don't want to know why. If a machine break down, you don't want to know that it only broke down. You can see it broke down, but why did it break down? And in knowing why it broke down, I can begin a process or a solution to get it fixed. Are you following what I'm saying? So then people do things to us at times and we want to be like, you know, that's not right. Why? And we say why, but we don't really mean why in the sense of, so is there anything that I did? Are there anything that's going on to bring this response out of that person? You know, why is I'm getting this response from them? Why am I getting this attitude? Whether it's children, whether it's adults or whatever, why am I getting this attitude? You know, and so whenever we do that, then we can say, okay, Holy Spirit, I don't know why this person is doing this. So Holy Spirit, reveal unto me and show me how to go forward in helping this person be the person that they need to be so that they can experience life and experience it fully, and I can experience life and experience it fully. Amen? So then we will be in this learning process, and the thing about a Christian having understanding, we have to remain teachable. We never get to the place to where we think we know it all. I don't know it all. I learn every day from everybody. I pay attention to everybody. There's always a lesson that I can learn about life and about dealing with people from everybody. There's nobody that I be around that I don't learn something from. It's not so much that I'm trying to learn their business as much as I'm trying to learn them. I'm trying to learn them so that I can, so when, see a lot of times, Holy Spirit will have you do something to people and to you it makes no sense. But if you've been studying that person and trying to learn that person, you'll say, okay, well, I can understand why Holy Spirit will have me to say this, even though I don't agree with this. And that's good. That's good. Be able to obey God when you don't agree with God is a good thing. Amen? And so sometimes, even as children, when we was growing up and our parents tell us to do something, we do it, but we didn't agree with it. But we still did it. Amen? And so that's the same thing as Christians, even though, in other words, God tell you to forgive somebody. Well, you know, they don't need forgiveness. They're not, you know, no. They don't deserve it. They need to do better. They need to do something else for me to forgive them. And God still say, forgive them. So that's a situation where you're going to have to make a decision where you're going to have to agree with God when you don't. You have to obey God when you don't agree with him. Amen? Hallelujah. So then in that type of thing, we must never become unteachable or be a person that cannot learn. And I think that until I see Jesus' face or until I see God's face, I'm going to remain teachable. I'm going to be willing to learn something from people. If you think for just a second, how many times sometimes children say things, and because they're children, we don't really pay attention to what they're saying. How do you? You don't know nothing. You don't know nothing. And I've learned from a lot of children a lot of things. I'm not saying they know more than I do. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that because we remain teachable, they can say something that you can do something with. I understand what I'm saying? However, I would not, you know, as a pastor, I would not sit down with a teenager and say, so how would I do a youth ministry? I'm not going to sit down with a teenager to let them tell me how to do that. I'm going to, first of all, have some question and answering sessions with those teenagers, and then I'm going to take what they say and take it to the Lord, and he's going to show me what they said that can be used and what they said that can't be used. Because you got to remember something. As parents, and a lot of parents make this mistake, they think that children know what's best for them, and they don't. And that's the same thing as Christians. If the devil can counterfeit the Holy Spirit, he'll get us to think we know what's best for us as a Christian. We know how to pray. We know how to read our Bible. We know how to do all of these things. We no longer like, Holy Spirit, show me what I should read today. Holy Spirit, show me what I should pray about today. So we get this list and we want to pray what's on our list. And it's all right to have a list, but you still have to let Holy Spirit tell you if you need to sit that list aside and pray the list that he gave you. And so that's what we do a lot of times. We want to do this Christianity thing our way, and we have to do it God's way. And I did a message once on why we do God's work God's way. Amen. And it's important that we do it his way if we want the benefits of a Christian life. And, you know, I'm excited to be in Hawaii. I'm excited to be here. I'm no fool. I thank God for being here. At his expense. Hallelujah. At his expense. Amen. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, Lord, I bless you. And so the Lord just said, you know, just in case you don't understand why you're here, I want you to take the word vacation and take the A out and make it vocation. So I'm here to do God's work. And you know, some of you, if you ever worked for a company that sent you somewhere, if they just sent you to Hawaii, you'd have been like, hey, I'm going to work because I want to be here, you know? Well, I'm kind of a local boy. I spent 13 years here before, so I'm kind of, my adulthood life was shaped in Hawaii in a sense. So the one thing that I learned in Hawaii was ohana. Hallelujah. Family. I learned that because I did not come from a family. I wasn't raised in a family. Amen. And so I learned that, and it's just, you know, when I went to the mainland, I do that. I mean, I have 30-something children who has adopted me. And I believe in family. Amen. I don't have none biologically, but I got, I tell you what, you try to tell one of them that I'm not their dad, and you're going to be in for a fight. Amen. Because I want them to experience what I didn't experience. I didn't have my father, never seen my father, didn't know what he was. But you will never tell that by dealing with me, because I'm so much into experiencing father and wanting other people to experience, I have become a good father image. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. And so what I'm just basically saying, guess how I was able to do it? Holy Spirit. Because Holy Spirit produced Christian character, it produced Christian service, it gave me understanding of the Lord, and lastly, Holy Spirit produced identity. Man, so many of us fight. We're trying to find ourselves. And one of the authors that the church has a publishing company, and one of the authors that we just published did a 7-day devotional, and it's titled Find Yourself First. And I thought that it was really good when she sent me the manuscript. I went through it, and I'm just like, you know what? This is good. This is good. I like this. This is good. I will be more than happy to be your publisher. And so, but anyway, what it talks about basically is whenever you identify yourself, find yourself, then you can help others find themselves. Hallelujah. But if I'm not sure about who I am, how will I bring out or help you to pursue your true identity and who you are? And that's a whole nother series I teach on spiritual identity, because actually that is my, that is, you know, everybody has a pet peeve teaching, and that's mine. Spiritual identity. Because once you know who you are in Christ and who he is in you, it's over for the devil. You no longer search. How many times you see people searching? If you notice movie stars, you know, one day they act like they Buddhist, another day they want to be another religion, and another season they want to be this, because they have no identity. They don't have no identity. They don't know who they are. They can't say, this is who I am. It's like every time somebody say that you're this way, then they try to be that way. Every time somebody else say you're this way, they try to be that way. So they're constantly identifying them, finding their identity by what everybody think about them. And let me just tell you a little secret. You're three people. Three people. You who other people think you are, you who you think you are, and then you who God say that you are. I found that it's too much work trying to be who everybody else think that I am. And it's even a lot of work trying to be who I think that I am. But I found that the easiest thing to do is try to be who God say that I am. It's no work. Because he has to do all the work. He has to tell me every day. He has to remind me. He gave me 66 books. And he it's his job to cause me to be confident in who I am and be consistent in who I am and be stable in who I am. And you know who I am today? I am, hallelujah, a Christian, amen, on a daily basis trying to grow, on a daily basis trying to help others grow, on a daily basis denying any thought or anything that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. So anytime that I try to, or someone try to say something to me that goes against God, I cast it down. I cast it down. I cast it down. I cast it down. And as I was sharing with you, not having taken any medication since 1976, no medication, not even an aspirin, is because I've learned if God is my healer, and you know, it's something that you gotta grow into. You gotta renew the mind daily. And so it is hard to fathom because of the medical industry being so big. It is huge. It is huge. So many people's job is because of the medical industry, and a lot of people, you know, it's so connected and so intertwined in the lives of people, the medical industry. And so whenever I get symptoms of something, because God said he's my healer, I have to step back and say, Lord, if you're my healer, prove it. Prove it. Because I'm not going to run to man first. Are you understand what I'm saying? I'm going to run to you first. You prove that you're my healer. And God has done it every time. And so what I'm saying about identity, I am healed, resisting sickness. Somebody say that. Uh-oh, nobody believe that? Is anybody in here healed, resisting sickness? It's not to say you're not going to have symptoms. It's not to say that the doctor's probably diagnosed you with something already. With a few things. And so, I'm going to tell you what happened. I was in a car accident, and so I had to go to the doctor, and they was trying to give me medications, and I told them, I said, okay, I'll take them, but I'll take them home, but I'm not going to take them. And so I took them anyway, but anyway, I had to do an MRI, and they said, you got, so I go back to the doctor for the diagnosis of the MRI, and he said, you have two herniated discs. You have one in the neck, and you have one in the lower back. He said, this is the report. The one in the neck, if you so much walk and trip, you will be paralyzed from neck down. And now, listen now, doc. Let's talk for a minute. I said, how can anybody live with that? We trip all the time, doc. How can anybody possibly live with that? And I started stumbling around, and the doctor said, no, not in here. And I said, I can't, you know, I'm just saying, I don't disrespect you or nothing, but how can I live with that? I like to go fishing, I work on cars, I can't live with that, doc. I can't live with that report. And the Bible says, whose report are you going to believe? And it goes on to say, I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And I done everything. I work out. I do everything. I lift things. I do everything. And I'm not paralyzed from the neck down. Somebody say, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. But some things that you hear, you got to say to yourself, I can't live with that. You know, somebody say, you know, you're just a failure. You got to say to yourself, I can't live with that. Amen. Are you this? Are you that? I can't live with that. I can't wake up thinking about that thought. Are you understand what I'm saying? I can't live with that. I can't live with that. And that's what a lot of us got to be like. I can't live with that. I can't live with that. Hallelujah. Amen. We get thoughts. Say to yourself, I can't live with that. I said, God, I can't live with that. There's no way. I'm too active. I can't possibly live with that. So I'm just going to have to stumble around, bumble around, and trust God. As a matter of fact, let me find, I was tripping on purpose, you know. you understand what I'm saying? And so there's just some things, you know, like people say to us, you know, even spouses that say things to their spouse. And, you know, instead of getting mad, sometimes we just got to say, you know what? They said that, but I can't live with it. Because if I live with it, I'm going to be angry with them. If I live with it, I'm not going to treat them right. Are you understand what I'm saying? So just some things, you just got to be like, and I can't live with that. I just can't live with that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then you start doing just the opposite of what it's saying. You tell me I'm angry all the time. I can't live with that. I'm a joyous person. I'm a happy person. Let me show you. I'm not angry because you said that. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. God is good. His mercy and his grace endure forever. Like I said, I really would have liked to go through some of these notes, but as I said again, I like to yield the Holy Spirit because he knows what each person needs to hear. Amen? And so in my conclusion, I want to ask a couple questions. Have you recognized the presence of the function of the Holy Spirit in your life? And if you haven't, I pray that you heard something today that will cause you to go and think. And this message will be on our app. And if you want to download it and listen to it, they're free. They're free. You know, because sometimes when people think about, oh, you can download the message, how much is it going to cost? Well, all of our messages are free because salvation is free. Amen. So the things of the Lord must be free. But God has a way of financing everything that is his. Because it's his. Because even I say today, it's like, Lord, if I'm yours, if I'm your child, then you have to take care of me. You got to take care of my peace of mind. You got to take care of my joy. You got to take care of me. Lord, I'm available. I'm 100% available for service. I'm 100% ready to build your kingdom. I'm 100% in. I surrender all. So, Lord, because I'm surrendering all and I'm not trying to do anything with my own might and my own understanding, then, Lord, you're going to have to give me your might and your understanding. Amen. And you're going to have to be the provider for me because I'm going to do your work. I'm going to wake up doing your work and I'm going to go to sleep doing your work. It's not that I wake up going around with a bullhorn trying to tell people about Jesus, but I get up and I pray and read my word and I say, Lord, I don't know who I'm going to meet today, but Lord, let me show them you. Let me show them your love. Let me be your representative in whatsoever thing that I do on this day and whatsoever thing I say on this day. There's only one way I can do that, and that's with the help of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way you can do it, with the help of the Holy Spirit. All you have to do is just give Holy Spirit the opportunity to work in your life, and he will work, and he will bring the best out of you, and he will cause you to bring the best out of other people. Amen? Hallelujah. So I want you to know Holy Spirit produced character, which is manifested in the fruit of the Spirit. He produced Christian service. He leads us to perform good works. He also planned those works for us to do. He teaches us the meaning and application of the great truths of the Scripture. He make it possible for us to know who we are, the people of God. He also let us know that we are sheep of his pasture and we are beloved of God Almighty. Hallelujah. And it doesn't matter who don't love you, God does.